can record.
Should I turn this a little?
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Test, 1, 2, 3.
Welcome, everyone. Can you hear me? I'd like to welcome everyone to the January 26th Othello City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short prayer, and then I'll lead in the Pledge of Allegiance. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us. And I pray that our eyes would be open to see those opportunities in ways that we never have before. Guide us with your grace and your wisdom tonight. Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. As I go through to item 1.3 on our agenda is the roll call. We have all council members here tonight except for Angel Garza, who is has called and he's out of town. He's had some company business and some vacation that he wanted to take. So I would entertain a motion tonight to excuse Angel Garza from tonight's proceedings.
Make that motion.
Second it.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1.4, citizen input. It's the time of our meeting where we allow citizens to have up to 5 minutes to speak on any issue that they wish and address the Othello City Council. Is there anyone here who would like to speak? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. And hearing none, I'll move on in our agenda to number 2, approval of agenda. Entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3, consent agenda. Entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Current business. Item 4.1, interlocal agreement for jail services with Sunnyside. Police Chief Phil Shank has a report for us. We spoke about this at the other meeting last.
Yes, sir, so I'll make it brief.
Yeah.
We have two jail agreements that we want to put in front of council. One of them we're not done with. We've sent it back to Topnitch for some revisions. This is the Sunnyside contract. What this is basically it's $60 a night, which is $7 cheaper than we're paying now, or $42 a night as if we take care of the transportation. And it's less than 7 days. So it would go to $42 if we take if they're there for longer than 7 days, and that would be our intent generally. So it would be substantial savings for our longer term and midterm inmates. I answer any questions that you have on this.
The $67.85 for Adams County, is that we deliver though?
That is we deliver.
Yes. Okay.
And that's about a 45-minute drive. In this case, Sunnyside's about a, I'd say it's about a 90-minute, not 90 minutes, less than that, probably 70-minute drive.
75-minute, yeah. Okay. So. The expense has been budgeted. The police chief has recommended that we approve this. Any further questions or discussion? Okay. Council, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item on our agenda is the school resource officer agreement with the City of Othello. Police Chief.
Yes, sir. This is the long-awaited SRO agreement. The school board approved it 2 weeks ago. It's now in front of you folks. This is about a 50-50 split. It is a 50-50 split on the salary. The city continues to pay the vehicle costs, which are not a significant cost in this. And we'd be using one of our existing vehicles, not one of the newer vehicles. We have two officers that have expressed interest, and if council agrees to this, then we're going to put together a panel of school and myself to determine which of those officers would be the SRO.
Council?
Is this the split on the officer for a full 12-month period, or is it just for the school time period for the 9 months?
This is for a year-round.
For the year-round split. Okay, great.
What I explained to the superintendent was that we will actually be hiring an officer to backfill this position. So we actually incur that cost year-round, and, you know, we would make that officer available, obviously, for school functions during the summer, but we'd also be trying to stack up any vacations and other leaves that we can during the summer to make sure that we're more available during the school year.
Any further questions, Chief? Costs are within our budget. Council, or Police Chief is recommending we authorize the mayor to sign this agreement. I'd entertain a motion.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Phil. Moving on, item 4.3, skate park construction timeline. Molly, you have a report for us and a timeline?
I sure do. Good evening, Mayor and Council. After the Council approved the design for the future City of Oak Falls skate park at the January 12th Council meeting, I went back and touched base with Vince O'Neill from Spawn Ranch Skate Parks, and he gave us the timeline that you can see on the attached agenda memo for the construction, or for to prepare the construction documents for the skate park and go to bid and finish construction. So what he told me is they are continuing to work on construction documents at this time. During the week of February 16th to the 20th, they hope to submit those to the city for our first review, about 80% complete. The city will send them back the next week. They will come back with 100% complete construction documents in mid-March. And once those are complete and reviewed by the city, they'll go to bid. And the bid will take about 3 weeks, 2.5 to 3 weeks. And once the advert, they estimate that the bid will be awarded in late April, so April 20th to 24th, and construction will begin the first week of May with the skate park to be completed the first week of June or early June. So it's a pretty quick timeline. I'd be happy to answer any questions if the council has any. And if there are any changes, we'll update the council as they come along. Anything that's taking particularly longer than we would have estimated, staff will keep the council updated on that as we go.
Molly, I think you've done an excellent job here helping us communicate the wishes of the, and the changing wishes of the skate orders of the City of Othello, but I think we have something here that the committee and you have worked out together, and I appreciate your effort. The only question I guess I have is, when would be a good time, using your timeline here, to dedicate the park and invite the Deaver family?
I would say probably at the end, when construction is complete, when we have a more firm estimate as to the exact date that will happen. We could probably throw out a week and say, you know, this is when we estimate for this to happen. I would guess when we're about to April, we'll probably have a more firm date that we could give them for them to be able to schedule their attendance.
How about the 4th of July?
That's very doable.
For the dedication?
Yeah.
I think that would be an excellent idea.
And then all their families could come.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I will note
just
that.
Just thinking, but that's later on the agenda. But
so there's going to be a plaque installed in the concrete for Dan?
Well, what we had discussed was there's a couple of options, and actually Jennifer brought one up today. It was a good idea where it would be possible for the brick fundraiser that we're doing for us to kind of get together a design of bricks or something that, you know, were dedicated to Dan Deaver, where people could donate anonymously, that kind of put together a bigger something in dedication to him. Or we could just put, like you said, a bigger brick in the middle that we put all of them around. So it kind of just really depends on what the council would like to see happen, and also, you know, if we get enough bricks for people to donate, if there's a desire to do that, then we can certainly look into other options, or maybe do something like a memorial bench like we had discussed, so.
Yeah, I really like, kind of like the idea of having the big black granite in the middle of the brickway, because the brickway was going to be red, so it'd really stand out.
So it's always possible, because, you know, a lot of the, or the money that we're making is profit. Once they spend that and invest in those donations, then we're, we could use some of that profit to be able to purchase Dan Deaver's larger or different brick that would be the center of the design.
You can identify where that would be?
So it's actually going to be somewhat like a patio up at the front. So just right here, so we're not in danger of having the, you know, people on their skateboards on them, which is just dangerous in general, but also so it's still part of the park to where it's not going to be run over by all of the mowers in the park or anything like that. You know, they can just go around rather than have to go all the way over it. So we talked about possibly doing a sidewalk connection, but given the mowers and having to drive over them, we just didn't want any undue harm to the bricks.
Very good. Is there someone on the council who would like to assist Molly with that part of it?
I'll help you.
Thank you. Awesome.
Council, you have any questions of Molly? Okay, thank you. Let's move on to item 4.4, resolution to formally name the skate park at Lyons Park Dan Deaver Memorial Skate Park.
Okay. So at the January 12th council meeting, the council did discuss the possibility or the desire to name the future skate park the Dan Deaver Memorial Skate Park. And so we just wanted to make sure that we took the proper avenues or went through the proper avenues to make sure that that happened, that it was officially on the city's books. And so with that, we have a resolution tonight for the council that we ask the council to approve in order to officially and formally name the future skate park the Dan Deaver Memorial Skate Park.
Council?
I'd like to make the motion to approve resolution 2015 formally naming the public skate park at Lyons Park the Dan Deaver Memorial Skate Park.
Second.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Eugene. Any discussion? I just want to mention before we take the vote that I had, I don't know, it must have been 5 years ago, Dan Deaver was calling up my son, calling up kids, working on this. He worked with council members. You guys agreed with him in your budget to put this money together. And so now, finally, as we get to the end, Dan isn't with us. I did ask him, literally on his deathbed, what did he want to be remembered for? And this was one of the things that he wanted to be remembered for. He just wanted to be remembered that he was an ordinary guy and that he tried to do his best. And this was one of those things that he wanted to be remembered for. So it's significant not only to him, to this council, but also to his family. And with that, we have a motion made by Gina, seconded by Eugene, to adopt this resolution naming the new skate park the Dan Deaver Memorial Skate Park. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Molly's still on our agenda tonight on item 4.5, adjusting certain park and rec fees. Go ahead, Molly.
Thank you again. As part of, or the council may remember back in January, I came to you to discuss the possibility of putting together a parks pricing plan. A lot of what a pricing plan is a policy that shows, that's available to the public to show them exactly what kind of process we went through to determine our parks and recreation fees. So whether that's our pool admission fees or our shelter rental fees, our special event fees in the park. We just wanted something that was very, or that the citizens could read and understand exactly how we went through the process of deciding these, how much money goes into the staffing at the ball fields. and why we find it necessary to be able to recover a certain amount of that money. And so as we started through this process, there are a couple fees that I would like to go over and request the approval from council for. The Parks and Recreation Committee, I wanted to know, has met with a number of group organization leaders here within the community, so the Othello Barracudas, representatives from their group, representatives from the Othello Youth Baseball League, from the Men's Softball League. So we've had, it's definitely been a good good process to be able to work together on these and to really understand and show the different community organizations kind of all the whole process from park shelter fees and everything to kind of keep them involved. It's really nice to be able to help everybody understand where we're coming from. So we've had a lot of help from them. So it's been a really good process and something that I think was a really good idea from the Parks and Recreation Committee. So with that, there are a couple changes that I wanted to go over with the council. The first change that we reviewed would be to the entrance and admission fees at the Othello Community Pool. This year, the cost of the minimum wage has gone up by 15 cents. Since before I've been here, we have not had an increase in our pool rental fees. We haven't had any increases in our season pass fees either. So we looked at our season pass fees to see, kind of compared them. You'll see in the attachments, we compared them with different pass fees in the area. And we did feel it was in our best interest to make a change to those fees. It can't totally be classified as an increase in the fees because they would only be increased for non-residents. That was something that we had seen a lot in the surrounding communities. Because we have the citizens and they are taxpayers, a lot of the cities around us do prefer to have the non-resident rates because our residents aren't incurring that additional fee because they are already paying taxes. So we, the Parks and Recreation Committee and myself, went over these fees and suggested raising the Othello Community Pool season passes by roughly $7.50. That's an average. And so you can see in the attached resolution that the individual season pass for a resident would be $70, which it currently is. It would be $75 for a non-resident. It would be $170 for a family pass, which it currently is, and $185 for a non-resident family. So those changes can be seen there.
Molly, quick question. What are you classifying as a non-resident?
So if you, good question, thank you. At the end of the resolution, I knew that would come up quite a bit, so we did specify, we discussed it would be very difficult to be able to have, to prove where people live by checking their IDs or anything like that, really, you know, in the grand scheme of being at the pool for 3 months. So what we said is if you have a residence in Othello, then you are considered a resident. So
I do have an issue with that.
Okay.
Because the pool is being paid by the Parks Recreation District 1, which encompasses the school district boundaries. So we have county residents that are helping paying off that city pool.
Is their address still Othello, though?
Yes.
So then, yes, it says anybody who has an address that's within Othello.
Within the 90.
Yeah, within the, it says Othello, Adams County. Okay. So let's see here.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that is applicable for all the non-resident fees. So that's what we'll go with from this point forward. Are there any other questions on the community or the Othello Community Pool season pass increases? Recommendations? Okay, so moving on to our Othello Community Pool rentals. Like I said, I have not seen a change in these rates since I have been here in the last 3 years. So what the Parks and Recreation Committee looked at was the cost of staffing for an Othello Community Pool rental. And as we looked through those rates, we were actually losing quite a bit of money because there had been no changes to the rates given the yearly increase in minimum wage. So what we did or what we suggest is a $10 per hour increase, which would make it a $150 an hour rate. It currently is $140 an hour. You'd still have a $50 deposit that you could receive back if the pool was in good working order. And then we suggested a $15 increase per hour for a non-resident hourly rate. And in addition, because our pool rentals do have the option of having the concession stand rented at the while they're having their pool party, we did request that we add an additional $50 rate for the use of the concession stand. Because generally speaking, the pool parties, people bring, because they're smaller events, people bring cakes and snacks and whatnot. So a lot of times it's just kind of wasted fees on our end. So we'd like to make sure that we had that money secured to be able to pay that staffing cost all of the food costs that go into it and food preparation. So that is what we are requesting for the Othello Community Pool rentals.
So you do have to, if you're going to rent the pool, you also have to pay the non-refundable concession fee.
Only if you request to have the concession stand open.
Only if you request, okay.
And that, there's no change, there's no non-resident rate, it's just an additional $50 fee. And so what we also looked at was, or lastly, what we had looked at was the park shelter rental fees. We did not suggest to make any changes to the resident rates for our park shelter rentals, but we did suggest increasing the half-day rate by $5 as they currently stand, and the non-resident, or the full-day increase by $10. So, like I said, there would be no change to the current rates for the residents and the taxpayers, but there would be a change for those non-residents who are renting the facilities. Does the council have any questions? I'd be happy to answer.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the resident and non-resident.
Okay.
As I'm looking at this resolution, you got Section 2 and Section 3, and it does not give a really good definition on the pool itself. For a resident, it just says resident located within the limits of Othello and Adams. I could see that for the park shelter and those, but I do not see a definite distinction between the pool as being residents and non-residents.
So, for some clarification, if they're paying the people that are within that tax base, their address is Othello, though, correct?
It is a 99344 zip code, but they may live out in the county. But the way this is stated here, it says Section 2, the term resident is defined as a citizen, school, church, company, or organization that has an address located within the limits of Othello. And then it goes on Section 3, the term non-resident is defined as a citizen, school, church, company, or organization that does not have an address located within the limits of Othello.
Okay, so we can definitely make that more broad to just say within Othello, or, you know.
Kelly, do you have a recommendation?
Yeah, I would specify the geographic area that you want a resident to, you know, where you want the resident to live and distinguish on that. I mean, if zip code is the way to do it, I mean, you could specify the zip code. I mean, it's a little bit of an unorthodox way to go about it, but it certainly brings certainty. And if that's the tax base that you're concerned about, that you want to be able to use the pool at the resident price, then that is certainly one way to do it.
So your issue, though, Ken, was it's a school district boundary.
Yes. Yeah, the Park and Recreation District, I think, also uses the same district as the school boundary.
Yeah, when we
does
when
the zip code, does Othello 99344 extend beyond the school district?
You know, I really don't know.
Not into Royal City.
Yeah, Royal City.
In Franklin County. Mm.
Okay, well, then I think we should keep it as
school district
boundaries. That's easy.
Or follow, yeah, or follow the same districts of the Park and Recreation District.
Your concern is with the tax base and who's paying for the pool, yeah. And that's who it is.
Because
so
when
that is
to vote further to build it. It was the school district boundaries, with everybody within the school district boundaries was allowed to build.
And that's what we make.
So they're the ones bearing the burden.
And that's what we make it.
Yeah, so then I would change that then to specify the boundaries of the specific school district, you know, your local school district.
Can we still make a motion and vote on it tonight with the expectation that change will be made?
You could. You could make, you'd have to have a, somebody have to make a motion to modify or to approve it with that modification.
And that's only for the pool fees only.
Okay, so then what about the gazebos and the shelters?
Well, see, that's city. City's funding all that. The pool is being funded, the expense of paying for it, yeah, it's being outside the city. The tax burden to build it is within the...
So what the motion would have to be would be to, really what you'd be doing is having two, this has to be modified a little bit, because you're going to have a resident and non-resident for purposes of the pool fees, and you're going to have a definition of resident and non-resident for other purposes, correct? So the motion would have to be structured such that it make that clear. What I would suggest is so that we know what counts, that what gets entered is what council approves, that we just bring this back with the amendments at the next council meeting. That way it'll be right in front of you, and you'll, everybody will be on the same page as to what's being approved.
I think that's a good idea.
I agree. So that'd be the second week of February.
I have a question about that. Isn't the city bearing the cost of the operation cost?
Operation.
The cost and the loss, because it's been running at a loss basically since it's been open, the city's covering that.
Yes, however, the cost of the bonds to construct it is still outstanding. We haven't paid that off, and that's being borne by the whole school district boundaries.
So the people that are paying the tax for it should be able to benefit from being a resident.
But they're not helping pay the operating costs or taking a loss on it. We're the only ones taking the loss.
That is true. However, they are still participating if you own property inside the school district boundaries. So where's the line? That's what you're really thinking.
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind why we had said it so, I guess, basically broad was because, you know, we do have part-time employees, and it's something that, you know, you may not have a map on you to specify exactly that you live within the school district boundaries when you're coming there to rent the pool or something like that. So in the interest of making it something that was going to be a little bit easier for our staff to understand exactly where it was, you know, if their address is Othello, then they classified. So I think we could definitely work to make that easy and to be able to have like a map on hand to specify. So
you just had a map with the shaded area,
right?
And you
yeah.
find out where they live. I think that'll work.
Okay, so this I think I'd entertain a motion to table that until our next regular scheduled council meeting and ask if Molly could discuss language with Kelly, and we could fine tune that and have that ready for the next meeting.
Just redraft the resolution.
Mm-hmm. The terms. Okay, but is it still? A lot of work went into this. I don't want that lost in all this discussion, and appreciate that effort.
Thank you.
Yes. And so?
I'll make that motion.
Yes. We have a motion?
Second.
To table this until our next regularly scheduled council meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
For item 4.6, resolution to declare emergency status for well number 9. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight, staff comes before the City Council tonight to request Well 9 be declared as an emergency in order to move forward and get water into town before the end of June. I want to stress that Well 9 is sitting out there. We haven't done much with it. We're working with Ecology on a few things inside the well that are happening. The money's been budgeted for this well. We're sitting here just kind of idle, and we're creeping up on a farming season here, and we need to a few things we need to do to get water back into town, and we need to do that before our peak demand hits the town, or we're going to kind of be hurting on water this year. First items that justify this, the reasons for this is we got to get across the farmer's field here. Just last Thursday, we saw a guy plowing north of us here out in the field. And so we're pushing the time. The weather, there's no frozen ground, there's a lot of moisture. So things are happening in the field and we need to get across that. The other thing is we got an irrigation canal that we've got to get across and get under before water's in there. So that's another obstacle that's in our way as well. A couple other reasons that we've got here is well three. We did some work on well three. We were pumping some air. We had some wear. The well had been in that ground for 10 years. We're doing some back T testing on it now. We're waiting for one to come back here tomorrow. We're still getting some air out of that well. We had to take 10 foot of pipe off, suction off the bottom of that well. So we don't have that water to pull from. So we're thinking that we may have to do some work there. But I think we're grabbing some air down at Doro Dentistry here, and we've got some other options we're going to work with through there to try and alleviate that and get that well back online. The other spinoff of that is we got well six down here, and I believe our department head report, I gave you kind of a breakdown of the scenario that's going on there with well six. For some of the council members that weren't on council when we rehabbed this well 2-3 years ago, we had Holton Company pull it out, rehab it per Ecology, suck it back in 2-3 days. We had to pull it back out again. We sucked a bunch of debris. It got into litigation there with legal side, and we were in a crunch for water. We needed it. It was our big horse on the mound, and we had to put it back together and we had to stick it in. And we knew that we could only do a minimal amount because of the time, so we flip-flop shafts, buff bearing seats, did what we could to get it back in the ground, and it's been pumping ever since, but had a little vibration going in. Now it's got a lot, but we're holding it together, and we can't really do anything with it until we get something back into town, get three back online so we can pull six back out of the hole. But we're losing gallons per minute out of that well. It came in at 2,000. It's down to 17, down to 15, now we're down to 14, and I heard this morning we're at 13-something. So we're losing ever so slightly, but we still got it online. We're still pumping. Our concern is water for 15. Right now we see that we need water, and we need to do something to get water back into town here. We have a transmission line that has to be put in. We don't, currently we've got about 70% of the prints done on that transmission line. We needed to get it back into town. We also have a 6-inch force main up here at the corner that stubbed out to the north that was supposed to go under 17 to the east property line of WashDOT there, because we got a jack and bore underneath 17. So everything on the right of way as of now, the right of way for WashDOT's been approved. The access road has been approved. The easement's been established across Booker's north part of his property for this. I believe the north side of Cunningham Road, correct me if I'm wrong, has been annexed into the city. We've got stubs across Cunningham Road before we overlaid to connect this 16-inch main. Basically, we've got a liner to put in 9 as soon as Ecology, and we get that worked out by Snyder. The well house will have to be set, but it's not on the farmer's field. It's basically over on the portion of the field that he's not farming, so that can be done at the same time, but the transmission line has to come back, and we need to get that sewer line back down at the same time here and get it underneath that road. So tonight, basically, asking council to approve this action so we can move forward. At the same time, we're working with these other items and trying to get things online so we get ahead of the ball game here instead of behind it. Any questions?
Council?
The money's there under item 6. You have the money. It's there. I mean, go for it. As far as I'm concerned,
there is one thing I'm concerned.
Otherwise, it won't be done until summer.
He's not.
I don't. I'm sorry. I don't understand why it has to be declared an emergency. We got the money. Get her done. I don't.
Go ahead. Joe.
This may be a training thing.
A blending process.
Yeah.
Well, the reason is for a project like this to complete that, there's a bidding. process, competitive bidding process.
Gotcha.
And if an emergency is declared, then it would allow the city to get this done without having to go through the bidding process. And one thing that to accomplish that, the city would have to vest authority in a staff member to go out and select the contractor and do that, which I imagine would be Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, I want to add to that. We're going to look local for a contractor that doesn't have any schedule issues. He's got the time frame to do it, the equipment to do it, and he works well with the city. So we're gonna shop locally, and like they say in Moses Lake, shop locally it pays. But we're gonna try and do that, and if we don't, then we'll have to go outside and bring somebody in. But we're trying to do this in the local, in the city, keep money here in order to get it done. So.
Excellent. Thank you. I was at a meeting here on Wednesday dealing with the water. We got the water in the ground. That ain't the issue. We're running out of water. We got the water in the ground. It's getting it out of the ground. And the well issues that we have with current wells and the possibilities and the problems that we could have with them and getting it out. I just want to make sure with the attorney that this meets all the criteria of an emergency. I know it could be very well an emergency if we don't have well 9 in, well 6 goes down, well 3's not ready yet, and we're pushing June at that time when...
No, what seems to happen that way.
Yes. And like I said, it seems like we've been down a couple wells during the peak periods. And make sure it meets all the criteria of an emergency to make sure this will pass the state auditor's test.
No, that's correct. Actually, I'm looking at the code now. I believe, given the if the council finds that the circumstances that we're in and what were unforeseen, and that the what we have here presents a real and immediate threat to the performance of one of the city's essential functions, which is, of course, water service. Then you would be meeting, you could find that the requirements are met for an emergency. But you will have to make those findings on the record, and we'll have to include those in the resolution.
Okay. I guess with the issues, like Ken said, with well 3 and well 6, and the urgency of getting across the farmer's field before March, if we go through the competitive bid process, we won't even be, according to our engineering firm, they won't even have the bid documents and the construction documents done until the end of February, which then there's probably a 3-month time lag from the time we go to bid till they actually begin construction, and we wouldn't have a new supply of water until the end of the summer. And with the problems we're having on well 3 and well 6, if we don't vote for this emergency situation, we could be voting to not supply and have enough water. So that's the situation we find ourselves in. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve this resolution declaring an emergency.
I'll make that motion.
Second. And as Kelly pointed out, that would authorize staff then to act. It's when it is within our budget. Kelly, have you had a chance to review this resolution?
Well, I have looked at the resolution, and I haven't had a lot of time to wrestle with the issue yet, as it is an emerging issue. But I did look at the resolution, and I do recommend at least one change to the resolution. I recommend that the council designate a specific individual on staff to have authority, the contracting authority. That is what the statute prescribes, is that the person designated to act in the emergency has the contracting authority. And so I think the resolution should be clear on who has that authority.
And who would normally be the person that would be given that authority?
Usually in an emergency, you'd have either the city administrator or in this case, the public works director.
Okay. Council?
Let's go with Wade so that Terry's not taking the heat.
All right.
I appreciate that. Thank you. you want to borrow my flak jacket?
You pay Wade the big bucks and you can return them.
So we have motion made and seconded to approve resolution 2015 with the addition that will be, according to council, that we designate our city administrator, Wade Ferris, as the
Individual with contracting authority.
Individual with contracting authority.
Yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Terry.
And Mayor, we'll keep the council informed as we move along.
Yes.
So just along those same lines, you said you had half of it engineered? Terry?
I'm going to check on it again, but I know it's 60%, 60, 70%.
And that's being done at the current time by Gray and Osborne?
Gray and Osborne, Gino.
At what point in time does our new engineering firm come on?
We're still getting the contract done. They've always, they have agreed to help us in any way possible. In this case, I believe what we'll do, receive what we have and get as-built as the firm we hired to do this goes along. Isn't that right, Terry? We're going to do as-built.
We'll follow what we've got for a print, and then after that, we'll have to run off an as-built in the town because they're still trying to put that together on the GNO side. So that's the best that we've got right at this time.
And as far as inspections, are we going to do this ourselves? I forgot to ask.
We can do this ourselves, or we can have an inspector out there on the job. It wouldn't be advisable to have the new firm out there because it's being engineered by another, is what they're giving me, another firm. So it can be done by our staff or it can be done by GNO, one of GNO's inspectors that we request. And there's only a couple that I would request out of that firm.
I'm just kind of wondering about the coordination of the building of the pump house and getting the components necessary for the pump house. I mean, you're going with a 400 horse motor?
I got to look at that. I can't give that right off the top of my head, okay. John.
Because some of those things are 12 weeks out, 8 to 12 weeks mm-hmm. out, and you need to start placing orders now if you want to get them in 2 months to 3 months. Your VFDs, your motor control centers, those kinds of things need to be, you need to go out and get.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of it, John. That's why we're doing this now, because yeah. we're well aware of that.
But I mean, if there's no engineering to tell you exactly what you want to buy and what you're going to get, because first of all, you got to have your pump design. You need to design what the pump is going to be capable of producing out of that hole. And if it's 1,200 gallons a minute, then you might have to be a 14-stage, 400-horse motor, depending on where you're setting it. So those are the things that I'm saying need to line up in order for you to go out and start ordering equipment.
Now, we did some research, and we did talk to Snyder. Snyder's still working with the well that we have out there, but they did our VFDs on 5 and set that well up there. So he is capable, and we've talked to him, capable if we have to have him throw the VFDs and the wiring into that well. They obviously did the well, so the pump curve and all that, they should know what they're going to have to draw out of there. So that is a source that we have right now. Great.
So that's what we have. We thought about that, John, and that's great.
Okay, thank you, Terry. So let's move up to item 4.7, Travis. Resolution authorizing a CDBG application.
Good evening. We have a we had a staff, various members of the staff had a meeting with Catholic Charities, and they are looking at doing a housing project on these properties here. It is immediately south to Desert Haven, which was their previous project. And a couple issues were raised during that meeting which needed to be addressed. And one of them is there is sewer in these roads over here, and they are going to be extending sewer across here to serve these properties. They also have a water line that comes down here that serves Desert Haven, and they are going to bring that down and across so it'll loop the water system. And Terry, correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong. Okay.
Travis, not too far off. We have water currently in Seventh right here, loops down, comes down to Columbia Street. Water and sewer and storm already come down to here on Gemstone. This water is looped around, clear around here and back over to here currently. Storm will have to run from here down and tie to a manhole right about there on their project.
Okay, thank you. So there is an undeveloped half-width right-of-way on this side of Seventh that wasn't done when Desert Haven was developed. And we were talking to them about having to come back and finish this side of the road because there were stormwater issues. They were concerned that they have about a $2 million grant for this project, and it didn't include money for that. There is, however, appears to be some money available from Community Development Block Grant Program, and we are seeking permission to submit an application, see if we can't get that money under a grant. The information you had in front of you that you got today, sorry for the late delivery on that, but the numbers are actually in the neighborhood of 196,000, of which we believe we can get 115 in grant, which would leave $81,000 for us to come up with out of our water utility, our sewer utility, or our road, depending on how the costs break out once we get the final design. So I'm here if you have any questions about this.
Explain why we have to do the resolution, Travis.
Sure. In doing the research for the block grant application, they require proof that the elected body is approving applications to apply for that money. And part of that, I think, is just history that staff had in the past applied for community development block grants. They were allotted money, and then once that money was allotted, those entities would go to their elected officials who were not interested in engaging those. So there was some communication problems with the state and federal agencies getting grant money back. So now it is a requirement that there be some sort of resolution from the elected body authorizing the staff to pursue funds.
And Spencer, you said we could find that $81,000 in the budget.
Yeah, we have three different places, like Travis mentioned. We have the street fund. When we're closing out the year 2014 right now, and in that process, we found some revenues came in slightly higher than what we had expected, and some of the expenses, particularly on the operating side, were able to be cut from what we expected to spend last year. So we have dollars in the street fund to cover the $81,000-$82,000 that this would cost. It doesn't look like the street fund would have to bear all of that, though. If there's a portion of this that's water and a portion that's sewer, then those funds would pay for their $20,000 and $20,000, for example, and then the other $40,000 out of the street fund. It'd be something like that. And we have that for those reasons.
And this is the leftover monies from the Moon Street project, am I correct, from the CDBG grant that we got for down there?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is basically, from what I understand.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to you today, Mayor, sorry, because this all came up this afternoon. But this is a sort of a, I guess, Catholic Charities. Terry found that they had this money, we had this money left over. They went and asked CDBG about this. Of course, we were told more than one occasion that we couldn't use this or anything else. I know, John, you asked a question. I know you asked a question, Ken. But it turns out it looks like we can in this situation. And I'm not sure why, but that's where it's coming from, is that they had that money still sitting there. It was budgeted for this year. And so we have an opportunity to get it. Terry, you guys mean to add to that?
Catholic Charities has come back to us and wants to throw this CBGB money back to us that was off the Moon Street. And on that, they want to throw that at the improvements up here for storm on this 540 feet from Scootney and 7th down to the end of their property on their pavement there. They also want to throw money at the city to do the improvements to Gemstone and to the other 200 feet down here below Gemstone is where their property end. They got another 200 feet about here, and it lines up right here with this fence line runs across here. So this distance right here, all of this, and this portion here, they want to throw money back at the city for the improvements on this. Let the city handle the road improvements here as well as up here, and we may have a little bit of funds that we have to throw at this to connect this storm to here.
So right now, fronting Catholic Charities property is basically half a street.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
Half a street. The west side is not finished. So the funds for this is for the CBG, or the grant money that you want to go after, is to finish the rest of the street fronting their property now?
Yeah, this
continue
is...
Continue it on all the way down to where Gemstone would be?
Yeah, what we're asking is that they take, because this left side, they didn't put any sidewalk, curb, gutter, or storm down here. Stormwater right now runs out of their parking lot on both sides and runs down here and forms this green patch right here, cattails. What we've asked them to do is come up here, attach this storm to handle this, but to put the sidewalk, curb, and gutter back in here with a fence to keep people from running off this hill.
And that would be required of them all the way down to Gemstone?
Yes, that's correct. They would have to come clear down here full length of their property, which would be somewhere right about in here. And that's where the pavement would stop and the improvements, curb, gutter, sidewalk, right down to here. This little section right in here, our water main lays underneath this fence. This section right in here, because this road narrows up because of this hill, we'll ask them to sterilize this and go ahead and blade this out with some 5/8 minus rock to beautify this in here so that this just isn't open dirt.
Yeah, because my concern is, and we've let it go by too much, is half streets.
Yeah. Yes.
I do not want any more half streets.
That's correct. So this would be a full width street right up here, and it would run all the way down sidewalk, curb, and gutter, clear down here to the end of their property. Now there is a section here, 392 feet, before you come to the intersection of Columbia Street. If the city finds money or chooses to take this down to this intersection, that would just be asphalt, curb, gutter, sidewalk.
So basically, this is the monies that we were going to have to turn back into CDBG, but we have an opportunity to use it, you know, with that $81,000 that we'll have to spend. But that
it makes sense to reuse.
Yeah,
it
makes sense to go ahead and use it and take opportunity of that grant that we have.
And just to clarify that, I have exchanged some emails with the Department of Commerce, and we did return approximately $115,000 to them because it was unused, because it was not within the scope of the Moon Street. She, in response, clarified that it would not necessarily be that exact amount of money, because at the end of their fiscal year, they end up with odds amounts of money, and they're kind of looking to make sure the pot is empty by the end of it. So it may be a little more, it may be a little less, she said. Mm-hmm. We technically would be in line second behind any potential emergencies that come up. So there's a chance we might not get anything if somebody were to come up with an emergency.
So according to your memo, Travis, it says should no grant be awarded, the project would not proceed, or Catholic Charities would have to pursue funding for all or a portion of the project. And when you say the project, you mean specifically 7th Avenue?
Not necessarily, because theoretically we still need to address the issue of whether or not there's the nexus and the proportionality for requiring those improvements off-site. So yeah, if they can't come up with funds, and kind of one of their offhanded ways to pursue that was call community development block grant and say, can you give Othello money, which is kind of how we got onto this trail. Because they're thinking in terms of they don't want their project to die because of this. They're looking for any pot of money to keep it going. And that's how we arrived at where we are. In the end, whether we don't get these could be a decision for
this council,
this body.
So it's an opportunity to use something that we potentially we're just going to lose. And if it doesn't go forward, we're not losing anything.
That's the only decision tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a question, not in regard to the resolution, but are we working with an approved plat? Or will there be changes made to the plat?
I would have to look into that, but Desert Haven, I believe it is platted, because I know we have the right-of-way, and I've seen it on their other map for their next project. So I believe it's done, but I can check if you'd like me to.
Well, I'd like to know, because, I mean, we're approving a budget for a street to be built, and, you know, I would like to be assured that, there's a plat there that we're servicing.
Everything that is on the west side is platted because it was part of the subdivision over to the west. The east side, which is where Desert Haven is, I believe they have, that's the one I'm not sure about. But on the left-hand side, I know the right-of-way is there.
I'd like to know for sure, because I don't want to see issues with streets going, you know, not being to go through streets.
I believe that he would have time to check on that and get that all taken care of. All this is authorizing to pursue the funding.
Yeah.
So he's going to have time to check on that before we get going with the project.
But I mean, I see an alley that comes down from the front, from up on top on the northeast there. Is that alley going to continue all the way down to the next, you know, through street?
That's their driveway. That's her.
Okay.
The loop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're going to bring another loop all the way down and around?
Well, so just so we further this discussion, if you look at Gemstone, what's going to happen from 7th Avenue across that? Is that going to be developed? Is that going to be a street with water and sewer down that dirt road right now? Yeah.
Gemstone, this has water, sewer, and storm right down this road. This will be a through street.
And that, as a part of this project, they've already funded that part of it.
They haven't funded any of this at this time right here. This is what they have to develop that borders their property, this
okay,
road. They
so
have to develop all of that. It'll be part of their money. They want to throw at the city and have the city run the street project while they work on their stuff over here, their building side.
I guess what I'm getting at is they have funds to do to extend Gemstone to 7th. What mm-hmm. they're asking for is 7th Avenue from Scutney to Gemstone.
And no, they're asking for this. See, you're talking about the CDBG grant
yeah.
money? That just goes from the end of this pavement right here, 540 feet to the middle.
Just that section right there.
Their existing.
The rest of their funding that they have. We'll take care of the rest of the roads here and here and whatever they got to develop in here.
Okay.
So it's just for that half a road in the
just
storm
this portion water. Right here to that manhole down here
okay.
to this end of this road.
Okay. So before us tonight is a request for a resolution to enable potentially the Catholic Charities to receive a community development block grant. At this time, I entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to adopt the TET resolution authorizing the mayor to pursue CDBG funding.
Thank you, Gina.
I'll second that motion.
Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion, questions, clarification? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Terry and Travis.
Sean, I have a question.
Yes.
Did we ever vote on the declare emergency status for rule number 9? We had a motion and a second.
Did we ever go ahead?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Debbie? Yeah. I only have to look at the note.
Okay. At this time?
Did we vote on it?
Who motioned and who seconded?
I think I made the motion.
I think I seconded it.
Okay, then you talked, but I don't think we ever voted.
I think you're right. So let's make, let's call that back on that question. All those in favor of declaring the emergency status for well number nine, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Mark. Point of order. And now, finally moving on to item 4.8, ordinance to amend the 2014 budget.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Before you tonight, I have the final ordinance that makes the final amendment to our 2014 budget. The items in here are all items that we've talked about over the last couple of months. We've already said yeses and noes, and you've already said your yeses and noes to these items in Council. And all these items are items that were yeses. And this document tonight is just the official document that collects all those yeses and puts them all on the same piece of paper.
And finishes our 2014 budget.
Yes. And these are the items that we included in the budget process when we were building our 2015 budget also. So these are part of that budget.
Okay.
So with that, it's my recommendation that you accept this ordinance. Approve this ordinance.
Do you have any questions, Council?
Yeah. Could you explain the Main Street Bond Fund 225?
Yeah. You know, I was going to mention two of these items. Two of these things on here are items that we didn't discuss. The Main Street Bond Fund 225, every year we have a budget, a line item in with that bond fund of $500, and it covers the admin fees that are associated with that bond. And those are fees that we haven't actually been required to pay for a number of years, or we've never received an invoice in the amount of those, the admin fees for, I think it was 4 years. And all of a sudden we got this invoice that said we need admin fees for 2014, 13, 12, and 11, or something like that. I called them and they said that, yeah, we haven't billed you for these admin fees, but we still have to collect them. They were very apologetic, and they said that they wouldn't let it happen again because it can be kind of difficult for us to budget for expenses that may or may not come up, for but expenses that may come up down the road for 4 years worth of expenses. Ultimately, instead of being 500, it was a little over 1,200. So this budget amendment increases that line item by $766, I believe. $766. So that was one item that you haven't seen previously. The other one was the one right above it, Donations Fund 111. We received more money for the Shop with a Cop program, and it allowed the officers to spend a little bit more money for the Shop with a Cop program. And that was a small change also, where we increased the budget by $1,600 for that one.
Okay. We had to entertain a motion to adopt an ordinance 1425, finalizing our 2014 year budget.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. Item number five, is there any unfinished business to come before the City Council tonight? Hearing none, we'll move on to item six, new business. There is something here before I get into 6.1. Is there any new business the council would like staff to look into and research for a future council meeting? Okay, let's go to 6.1, consideration to cancel the February 3rd workshop. There was consideration brought up about canceling this workshop which would be next Monday, because the council is planning a, having a planning meeting scheduled for Thursday, February 5th, to begin at 5:30. I got a phone call about 4:30 this afternoon from Angel. He cannot make it back in time for that February 5th planning meeting. His wife has some doctor appointments and stuff that he just can not make it. So I don't really want to plan unless the whole council is here. So I would prefer maybe we schedule that the following week on either, depending on our schedule, you know, we tried that before. We're not going to do it the same night as a council meeting. So it'd either be on a Tuesday night or Thursday night. So if we had a calendar.
February 2nd meeting, not the 3rd.
22nd, okay. So.
For Monday, Sean. Use it?
Yeah, you could use the 16th.
Use, yeah, use the 3rd Monday. That's
I won't be here.
Planning Commission, too.
Are you
oh, that's right,
Planning it's also Commission. President's Day.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the 10th or the 12th of February. Tuesday night, the 10th, or?
I'll be gone.
You'll be gone?
Yep.
And you'll be gone the 12th?
Yep.
12th.
I won't be back till the 18th.
The 12th is.
Leaving that 10th, come back to that night on the 18th.
Council. Too, so I won't be able to make it there. The 10th is Tuesday.
What about the 19th?
There will be several of us that are coming, just coming back from Olympia.
What about scheduling that for the March workshop? That would become your plan.
That would be the 2nd. Monday, the 2nd of March.
The 2nd, yeah.
Really want to wait that long, but if you're going to have the entire council here, I would assume that March 2nd, it appears, is going to be the first earliest date we can do that. Unless you want to go the last week of February, which would be the 24th or the 26th.
In that case, you're almost better off just waiting for that 2nd. It's only a few days.
It's a regularly scheduled meeting anyway.
Yeah.
So, yes, let's go with March 2nd. Let's change that with the council's permission.
Are we going to do it before the meeting or at the same time as the meeting?
That will be the meeting. It'll start at 5:30.
Okay.
So since we're doing that now, do we still counsel this?
So now the big question, which is before us, is considering counsel on the February, it's actually February 2nd workshop, not the 3rd.
If we don't have anything on the agenda.
Due to the lack of an agenda.
We've done it, yeah. It's been done before. If we don't have an agenda, we don't have an agenda. Mm-hmm.
Council, entertain a motion to cancel the February 2nd workshop.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion about canceling that meeting?
If something does come up, can we just reinstate it and?
I'm going to have to ask Deb, refer to Debbie on that.
If you do counsel the meeting, we have to post it as
to
the
council.
Yeah. Well, so we would have to notify the newspaper if we're going to.
I've never done it before. I don't know.
If there's nothing on the agenda at this time, it doesn't seem likely that there will be something that we have to be here for a workshop.
Since you don't make any decisions, or you don't normally make decisions at a workshop, there aren't any decisions right now to be made anyway, and normally it's more of a discussion. The only thing I can think will come up is any update on Well 9, but we can do that either by telephone or whatever. You've already given us the authority to make decisions. If there's something outside that authority, that would be when we would have to have a meeting.
Okay.
Debbie, I can't think of anything else.
We would have to call a special meeting for that anyway, because we don't normally make decisions at the workshop, so.
Okay.
Not a big deal.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 7.1, Department Heads December Reports. Council will receive the Department Heads December Reports. Item 7.2, Planning Commission Minutes. John, do you want to make any statements about the meeting we had with the Planning Commission tonight, or do you want to wait for further time?
What are you looking for? I mean,
just the highlights, summary. Okay.
I thought it was a pretty good meeting. I think that the Planning Commission that we had, they were all the members were there. They elected their officials, and I believe that group of people are going to be looking at some things that'll benefit the city, working with the city as well, hand in hand.
Yeah, and furthermore, John attended, Corey attended, and myself attended, and I would say, first of all, they were surprised. They hadn't seen that much council participation at a planning meeting. Second of note was the content of the meeting, which was provided by Travis. I think it was one of the best educational experiences that this planning commission had ever experienced, as far as the process of planning and updating the comprehensive plan, and what the different issues are, what the rules, what the legislative powers were of a planning commission. And so I was really proud of Travis and his preparation for that meeting. And I think that he is going to help guide us and the Planning Commission and the City Council through a process that is going to make Othello great. So that's all the rest of the comments that I had.
Yeah, it was very educational. Travis did a really good job. And I think that that group up there got a heck of a lot out of it. That it's no joke for them to sit in the position that they're sitting in, and that they need to be responsible for doing some things. I think you made that very clear to them. So that was good. Very good.
Okay.
They're all sitting there going, really?
No further business to come before the City Council. I'll adjourn the meeting at 8:13 p.m.
Debbie?